British Sky Broadcasting, Walt Disney Pictures and Jim Henson Productions present The Muppet Christmas Carol, a Brian Henson film. Audio description by Matthew Horn, script by Robbie Gaston. In loving memory of Jim Henson and Richard Hunt. From the novel by Charles Dickens. Starring Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit. Miss Piggy as Emily Cratchit. The Great Gonzo as Charles Dickens. Rizzo the Rat as himself. Fozzie Bear as Fozziewig. And Michael Caine as Scrooge. Victorian England. Rows and rows of snow-dappled roofs of houses are shown. On the cobbled streets of London, people bustle through a market. Chestnuts are roasting and a horse-drawn carriage rides through the streets. Sitting on an arch, a small creature chews on a bone. Two pig gentlemen in suits are in discussion at the busy Christmas market.
Well, that was a fine meal.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Yes, where should we do now?
Let's have a lunch.
Oh, good idea. Now, quiet down, you villains.
They are being stolen. Hey, help me! Help me!
A frog pesters a chicken sitting above a shop sign. A dog leans out of the window and throws a snowball at them.
What about my nose?
Nice Christmas turkey. Turkey, get your Christmas turkey.
Hey,
whoa,
get back in
the
box there, Martin.
It's a boomerang fish. Oh, guaranteed fresh. Tony fish away. And it comes back to me. Get them while they're fresh.
Christmas apples.
We got Macintosh.
It's your Christmas apples.
Red delicious.
Sumpence apiece while they last.
They won't last long the way you're eating them.
Hey, I'm creating scarcity. Drives the prices up.
Rizzo. Hello! Welcome to the Muppet Christmas Carol. I am here to tell the story.
And I am here for the food.
My name is Charles Dickens.
And my name is Rizzo the Rat. Hey, wait a second. You're not Charles Dickens.
I am too.
No, a blue furry Charles Dickens who hangs out with a rat.
Absolutely.
Charles Dickens was a 19th century novelist, a genius.
Oh, you are too kind.
Why should I believe you?
Well, because I know the story of A Christmas Carol like the back of my hand.
Prove it.
All right. There's a little mole on my thumb and a scar on my wrist from when I fell off my bicycle.
No. Don't tell us your hand. Tell us the story.
Oh, thank you. Yes. The Marleys were dead to begin with.
Oh, pardon me?
That's how the story begins, Rizzo. The Marleys were dead to begin with.
Oh.
As dead as a doornail.
That's a good beginning. It's creepy and kind of woohoo, spooky.
Oh, thank you, Rizzo.
You're welcome, Mr. Dickens.
In life, the Marleys had been business partners with a shrewd moneylender named Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ooh.
You will meet him as he comes around that corner.
Where?
There.
When?
Now. There he is, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Carrying a cane, he wears a long coat and a top hat.
Say, is it getting cold around here?
wind blows, it chills you to the bone.
But there's nothing in nature that freezes your heart like years of being alone.
It paints you with indifference like a lady paints with rouge.
And the worst of the worst,
the most hated and cursed,
is the one that we call Scrooge.
Unkind as any,
and the wrath of many,
this is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, there goes Mr. Humbug, there goes Mr. Grimm. If they gave a prize for being mean, the winner would be him.
Old Scrooge, he loves his money, 'cause he thinks it gives him power.
If he became a flavor, you can bet he would be sour.
Even the vegetables don't like him.
There goes Mr. Skinflint, there goes Mr. Greed,
the undisputed master of the underhanded deed.
He charges folks a fortune for his dark and drafty houses.
Us poor folk live in misery.
It's even worse for mouses.
Please, sir, I want some cheese.
He must be so lonely, he must be so sad. He goes to extremes to convince us he's bad.
He's really a victim of fear and of pride.
Look close and there must be a sweet man inside.
Nah.
There goes Mr. Outrage, there goes Mr. Sneer.
He has no time for friends or fun.
His anger makes that clear.
Don't ask him for a favor, 'cause his nastiness increases.
No crust of bread for those in need.
No cheeses for us Mises.
Scrooge liked the cold. He was hard and sharp as a flint, secret and self-contained, as solitary as an oyster.
There goes Mr. Heartless, there goes Mr. Cruel.
He never gives, he only takes, he lets his hunger rule.
If being mean's a way of life, you practice and rehearse.
Then all that work is paying off, 'cause Scrooge is getting worse.
Every day, in every way, Scrooge is getting worse.
Scrooge turns and scares the crowd. They disperse and go about their business.
Humbug.
He enters the Scrooge and Marley counting house. Rizzo speaks.
Whew, what an unpleasant fella.
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Boy, this really is a dirty city.
You telling me?
Dickens wipes the dirty window using Rizzo.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner.
Bob Cratchit?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge?
Who is this?
It's Mr. Applegate, sir. He's here to speak to you about his mortgage.
Please, Mr. Scrooge, I know you're very angry about this, and I didn't mean to fall behind in the payments. Lord knows it, being Christmas and all. Oh, please don't shout at me, sir. That and, of course, little Gwen. Her lungs aren't right. The doctor takes his share, don't he? I mean, you can yell and scream and you're right, but it won't do no good because I'm the stone you can't squeeze blood from, and that's the truth! Thank you for not shouting at me.
Let us deal with the eviction notices for tomorrow, Mr. Cratchit.
Tomorrow's Christmas, sir.
Very well. You may gift wrap them.
Let us help you with that, Mr. Cratchit.
Oh, my, there are certainly a lot today.
We'll get it with you.
Okay. There you go.
Look out on that end. Look out.
The rats struggle under the weight of the papers.
Christmas is a very busy time for us, Mr. Cratchit. People preparing feasts, giving parties, spending the mortgage money on frivolities. One might say that December is the foreclosure season.
Harvest time. For the moneylenders.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, it's gotten colder. Yeah. Any bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire?
We can't do the bookkeeping.
Yeah, all of our pens have turned to inksicles.
Yeah, our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
This is my island in the sun.
I believe you've convinced them once again, Mr. Scrooge.
Charles Dickens.
At that moment, who should arrive at the door but Scrooge's nephew Fred, his only living relative?
Nephew Fred? I don't see him.
Trust me.
Hello? Oh. Uncle?
Rizzo.
You're very good at that, Mr. Dickens.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle Scrooge. God save you.
Merry Christmas. Humbug.
Quick, it'll be warmer in there.
The pair run inside.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Actually, I think it's colder in here.
Merry Christmas, you say. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
He's got him there, the old boy, speechless.
If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be cooked with his own turkey and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Well, not quite speechless.
Oh, Uncle.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Christmas is a loving, honest, and charitable time. And though it's never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that Christmas has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
And how does one celebrate Christmas on the unemployment line?
The rats all get back to work.
Now, in these times, it was customary on Christmas Eve for well-meaning gentlemen to call upon businesses collecting donations for the poor and homeless.
Mr. Scrooge, I presume?
Who are you?
We're from the Order of Victoria Charity Foundation. We'd like to speak to you about a donation.
Welcome. This jolly old gentleman here is Mr. Scrooge. He's very generous to charities.
My dear nephew.
At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, many of us feel that we must take care of our poor and homeless.
Are there no prisons, no poorhouses?
Oh, plenty of those, sir.
Oh, excellent. For a moment, I was worried.
Some of us are endeavoring to raise a fund for the poor and the homeless. What might I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. I do not make merry myself at Christmas.
That certainly is true.
And I cannot afford to make idle people merry.
That is certainly not true.
Don't you have other things to do this afternoon, my dear nephew?
Sadly, I do, Uncle. So I shall make my donation and leave you to make yours.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Uncle, come and have Christmas dinner with me and Clara tomorrow.
Why ever did you get married?
Why? Because I fell in love.
That's the only thing in the world sillier than a Merry Christmas.
It's no use, Uncle. I shall keep my Christmas humour to the last. A Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Fred.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
I'm back.
The two charity workers, Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, nervously fidget on the spot.
Now then, sir, about the donation?
Well, now, let's see. I know how to treat the poor. My taxes go to pay for the prisons and the poorhouses. The homeless must go there.
But some would rather die.
If they'd rather die, then they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh,
this
dear.
Is the door. You may use it.
All right, Beaker, come along. I think we've taken enough of Mr. Scrooge's time. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Scrooge rips apart the wreath.
Looked out on the feast of Stephen. All the way round about, deep as crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night. Doorstep.
Bean Bunny is on the doorstep.
What do you want?
A penny for the song, Governor?
Reopening the door, he throws the wreath at the hopeful rabbit.
Ow!
Scrooge suspiciously eyes the rats as they hurriedly get back to work. Scrooge is now at his desk working by lamplight. Bob Cratchit appears in the doorway.
Excuse me, Mr. Scrooge, but it appears to be closing time.
Very well. I'll see you at 8 tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow's Christmas.
8:30 then.
If you please, sir, half an hour off hardly seems customary for Christmas Day.
Not hardly customary.
How much time off is customary, Mr. Cratchit?
The whole day.
Yeah, that's the whole day.
The entire day?
No, that's the frog's idea.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, why open the office tomorrow? Other businesses will be closed. You'll have no one to do business with.
Yeah.
It'll waste a lot of expensive coal for the fire.
Yes, that's definitely a point.
It's a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every December the 25th. But as I seem to be the only person around who knows that, take the day off.
Will you stop that?
Thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
Be here all the earlier the next morning.
Charles Dickens and Rizzo watch the grumpy Scrooge walk off.
With their employer gone at last, Bob Cratchit and the bookkeepers immediately began that most pleasant of activities, the celebration of Christmas.
He's gone!
Gentlemen, let's close up for Christmas. Ooh.
There's magic in the air this evening, magic in the air. The world is at her best, you know, when people love and care. The promise of excitement is one the night will keep. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas.
Having built a seesaw, one of the rats goes flying towards the window, pulling down the blind. He loses grip and the blind goes back up. Two other rats shake their heads.
The world has got a smile today, the world has got a glow. There's no such thing as strangers when a stranger says hello. And everyone is family, we're having so much fun. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas.
Using two brooms as stilts, a rat cleans the floor.
Here we go.
They use the seesaw again, and this time the rat pulls down the blind. They then tidy up some books. Bob Cratchit smiles and nods.
Very good, gentlemen.
Bob locks the door.
Tis the season to be jolly and joyous. With a burst of pleasure we feel it arrive. It's a season when the saints can employ us to spread the news about peace and to keep love alive.
It's the Penguins' Christmas skating party.
They watch as one of the penguins goes flying into the air. The penguins skid along some ice. One does a number of spins as the others watch. Bob and the rat look impressed. Cratchit has a go and skids past on one leg, then the other. The rats and the penguins all nod approvingly.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A penguin goes flying into him. Two penguins then pass, one has another on its shoulders. Dickens skids along with Rizzo on his head. Rizzo falls into a barrel. Dickens looks in and Rizzo stamps his foot.
Fun, huh?
Merry Christmas, penguins!
There's something in the wind today that's good for everyone.
Yeah!
Yes, faith is in our hearts today. We're shining like the sun. And everyone can feel it. The feeling's running deep. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas Day.
Bob walks off. Wrapped in newspaper, the carol singing Bean Bunny shivers and sniffles. Charles Dickens and Rizzo riding a horse-drawn carriage.
Scrooge lived in chambers which had once belonged to his old business partners, Jacob and Robert Marley.
Have some bread?
Not while I'm working.
Okay, suit yourself.
The building was a dismal heap of brick on a dark street. Now, once again, I must ask you to remember that the Marleys were dead and decaying in their graves.
Yuck!
That one thing you must remember, or nothing that follows will seem wondrous.
Why are you whispering?
It's for dramatic emphasis.
Oh.
They watch as Scrooge is on his doorstep. He turns to look at the sky, his long coat billowing in the wind. Scrooge starts to open his door, but stops as the metal door knocker morphs into a face. In shock, Scrooge steps back nervously.
Jacob Marley.
Scrooge recoils and the horse rears up. Dickens and Rizzo are dumped in the snow.
Are you okay?
Scrooge examines the door knocker. It is now back to normal.
Humbug.
Oh, Gonzo, speak to me. Mr. Dickens, Charlie, are you hurt?
To say that Scrooge was not startled would be untrue. Still, the moment had passed, and the world was as it should be.
He ain't hurt. Didn't even break his concentration.
Hmm?
Nothing.
Oh.
Scrooge lights a candle.
Come on, Rizzo, we'll follow him in.
In a minute, I had a little bag of jelly beans over here.
Will you just get over here?
All right.
Sheesh.
The door closes in Dickens' face.
Steady, steady.
Scrooge made his way up the staircase, caring not a button for the darkness. Darkness was cheap, and Scrooge liked it.
But the incident at the door had made Scrooge wary. Before he shut himself in for the night, he searched his rooms.
Okay, that does it.
Pardon?
How do you know what Scrooge is doing? We're down here and he's up there.
I keep telling you, storytellers are omniscient. I know everything.
Hoity-toity, Mr. Godlike Smarty Pants.
To conduct a proper search, Scrooge was forced to light the lamps.
The window is illuminated.
Does he do that?
Scrooge blows out a match. Lifting a poker from the fire, he turns, appearing anxious. He creeps along the dark house carrying a candle and the sharp poker. Putting down the candle, Scrooge turns and grabs out towards a hanging gown. He throws it to the ground and beats it with his poker, then stares in disbelief.
Oh, it's my best dressing gown. No harm done.
Now wearing the burgundy gown and a nightcap, he sits in front of a roaring fire eating bread and cheese. His wispy grey hair pokes out from under his cap. A bell above the fire suddenly rings, startling the aged Scrooge. Scrooge looks to his right, then back at the bell. Scrooge is wide-eyed. As the bell stops, the fire goes out, leaving him sitting in near darkness. He again looks to his right at the bubbling noise. A mysterious grey smoke fills the stairs. He is terrified as two old ghosts appear out of the smoke with chains on their arms and legs. One of them appeared on the door knocker.
Ebenezer Scrooge,
oh.
Looking older and more wicked than ever.
I knew he wouldn't disappoint us.
Scrooge leans forward.
Who are you?
In life, we were your partners, Jacob and Robert Marley.
It looks like you, but I don't believe it.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing can affect them. A slight disorder of the stomach can make them cheat. You may be a bit of undigested beef, a blob of mustard, a crumb of cheese. Yes, there's more of gravy than of grave about you.
More of gravy than of grave?
What a terrible pun. Where do you get those jokes?
Leave comedy to the bears, Ebenezer.
Please, Jacob, Robert, don't criticize me. You
always criticize me.
We were always heckling you.
It's good to be heckling again.
It's good to be doing anything again.
Why do you come to me?
We're Marley and Marley, avarice and greed. Took advantage of the poor, just ignored the needy. We specialized in causing pain, spreading fear and doubt. And if you could not pay the rent, we simply threw you out.
There was the year we evicted the entire orphanage.
I remember the little tykes all standing in the snowbank
with their little frostbitten teddy bears.
We're Marley and Marley, our hearts were painted black. We should have known our evil deeds would put us both in shackles. Captive bound, we're double iron, exhausted by the weight. As freedom comes from giving love, so prison comes with hate. We're Marley and Marley. We're Marley and Marley.
But my friends, you were not unfeeling towards your fellow men.
True. There was something about mankind we loved.
I think it was their money.
Doom, Scrooge. You're doomed for all time.
Your future is a horror story written by your crime.
Your chains are forged by what you say and do.
So have your fun when life is done. A nightmare waits for you.
What are these terrible chains?
The chains! We forged these chains in life by our acts of greed!
You wear such a chain yourself!
Humbug, speak comfort to me, friends.
Comfort me!
You will be haunted by three spirits.
Haunted? I've already had enough of that.
Without these visits, you cannot hope to avoid the path we tread.
Expect the first ghost tonight when the bell tolls one.
Can't I meet them all at once and get it over with?
When the bell tolls one.
We're Marley and Marley. Whoa! We're Marley and Marley. Whoa!
Scrooge looks down at his fire, which is burning once again. He then steps cautiously forward, staring at where the ghosts once were.
And with that, the spirits of Scrooge's partners vanished into the darkness, leaving him once again alone in his room.
Whoa, that's scary stuff. Hey, should we be worried about the kids in the audience?
Nah, it's all right. This is culture.
Jelly Bean? I had him in my pocket all along. What?
Dickens turns and Rizzo kisses him on his long nose. Back inside, Scrooge puts down his candle and climbs into his large bed, about to pull the curtains around it. Outside, Rizzo stands on top of a gate.
Come on!
I really hate this!
You wanted to know what was happening. Now Scrooge's bedchamber is on this side of the house. Oh. Now jump!
There's only two things in this life I hate. Heights and jumping from them.
Too late now. Come on, I'll catch you.
God save my little broken body.
He jumps and lands behind Dickens.
Missed.
Wait a second. I forgot my jelly beans.
Rizzo goes through the gate.
Oh, good.
He comes back through with the jelly beans.
What?
You can fit through those bars?
Yeah.
You are such an idiot.
What? What? Hey, what? What? What?
Scrooge is asleep on his bed. The clock is at 5 to 1. A rope with a hook on the end is thrown over a large branch. Dickens climbs up with Rizzo on his back.
Oh, dear.
Scrooge slipped into the empty silence of a dreamless sleep.
You know, a guy could break his tail falling out of this tree.
You want to see what's going on, don't you?
Yes.
Look, there's Scrooge's window.
Oh, yeah.
Close up on Scrooge's face as the clock strikes one. The small character on the clock raises two bells as Scrooge opens one eye. The candle is blown out.
Expect the first ghost when the bell tolls one!
A bright light pours out of the window. Scrooge sits up and Rizzo falls down. Dickens has him by the tail. Holding the poker, Scrooge pulls open the curtains of his bed. He grimaces, narrowing his eyes, blinded by the bright light. The light is suddenly sucked into the vision of a tiny young girl in a long white lace dress.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
But you're just a child.
I can remember nearly 1900 years. I am the ghost of Christmas past.
What business has brought you here?
Your welfare.
A night's unbroken rest might aid my welfare.
Your salvation, then. Take heed. Come.
The window bursts open.
I beg your spirit. I am mortal, liable to fall.
A touch of my hand and you shall fly.
He reaches out for her small, doll-like hand. Dickens swings the rope and hook as Scrooge flies off with the ghost.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Nothing.
What?
Well, just hold on.
What?
They are pulled along on their rope by Scrooge and the ghost.
Oh, no. Oh, watch out, Rizzo!
No.
Oh. Rizzo knocks over two chimneys. They fly over the rooftops.
Nothing.
Whoa, look, Rizzo.
I don't want to look.
Spirit, what is that light? It cannot be dawn.
It is the past.
Look, it's beautiful, Rizzo.
Having travelled through the light, they are now flying above a forest where the trees are covered in snow. A chicken falls off Dickens' head. The ghost moves upwards, pulling Scrooge's arm vertical as they are lowered to the ground. Rizzo is shivering.
And so they arrived in Ebenezer Scrooge's childhood.
That was the worst trip of my life.
Yeah, well, it's over now.
Yeah, safe at last. No. No! No! Oh, nice kitty, nice kitty. Ow! Ow!
Dickens shakes his head.
It was the afternoon of Christmas Eve, and Scrooge was conscious of a thousand odors, each one connected with a thousand thoughts and hopes and joys and cares, long, long forgotten.
It's my old school. I was a boy here. That's Henry. And Edmund, my best friend. Hello, boys. Hello.
These are but shadows of your past, Ebenezer. They can neither see nor hear you. Come, and let us go inside.
Rizzo, stop playing with the cat.
They shut the door in the cat's face and it falls over. Now inside, a line of busts are on a shelf of Aristotle, Dante, Moliere and Shakespeare. Rizzo and Dickens sit at the end.
A flood of memories came back to him as Scrooge beheld his old classroom.
I know it all so well, Spirit. The desks, the smell of the chalk. I chose my profession in this room.
And is he too familiar?
Scrooge turns and looks shocked.
Scrooge beheld a small boy, a boy he knew, oh, very well indeed.
It's me.
Well, Ebenezer, last time for sleeping.
Come on, he never goes home for Christmas.
Who cares about stupid old Christmas?
I was often alone. More time for reading and study. The Christmas holiday was a chance to get some extra work done. Time for solitude.
Rats don't understand these things.
You were never a lonely child?
I had 1,274 brothers and sisters.
Sheesh, rats don't understand these things.
Let us see another Christmas in this place.
They were all very much the same. Nothing ever changed.
You changed?
Deep in thought, he turns and looks at the ghost. The young Ebenezer gets up from his desk and looks out the window. Sunlight pours into the classroom. Time passes and his younger self grows older. He carries books and an abacus to his desk and continues his work.
The years performed their terrible dance, and in a moment, Scrooge had seen his entire childhood pass. He saw his old schoolroom age and decay.
Shakespeare's nose falls off, their shelf breaks on one side, and they are squashed by the figures.
So, Master Scrooge, graduation day. Remember
that? That's my old headmaster.
Education as a foundation.
This man taught me my greatest lesson.
Stand up. Build your life as the school is built. With care, using up the
best. My ear.
They try to push the busts.
Ah, yes. Work hard, work long, and be constructive. Oh, Ebenezer, life is a golden opportunity. Today you go forth into the real world. You must keep your nose to the grindstone. Work hard, lad. And one day, your life will be as solid as this very building.
The busts, Rizzo and Dickens all fall off the shelf.
I've been meaning to fix that shelf.
Yes, sir, Master.
Well, young man, you have been apprenticed to a fine company in London. Today, you become a man of business.
I'm looking forward to it, Headmaster.
You will love business. It is the American way.
Sam. It's just...
Oh, it is the British way.
Good.
Yes, Headmaster.
The head looks to his right and Dickens has gone.
Oh, here is your coachman, Ebenezer.
Come, Scrooge. There is much to see.
London, lad. Remember, don't tip the driver.
Dickens and the ghost are enveloped by a bright light as they pass through time once again.
A moment later, Scrooge found himself standing on a city street, looking at a building he had not seen in years.
Tell me, Ebenezer Scrooge, do you know this place?
Know it? My first job was here. This is Fuzzywig's old rubber chicken factory.
Once again, it was Christmas Eve. Night was falling, and the lamplighters were plying their trade.
He lights Rizzo's tail.
Hey, light the lamp, not the rat! Light the lamp, not
Oops,
the rat!
My
what
apologies!
Are you doing? Put me out! Rizzo! What?
He pushes him into a bucket of icy water below.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rizzo goes back under the surface.
And there he is, old Fuzzywig himself.
Look, my lads, dusk has fallen, and the lamplighters are at work. It's Christmas Eve for certain.
What an employer he was. As hard and as ruthless as a rose petal.
It's time for the party to begin!
It's the Fuzzywig Christmas party.
Rizzo, come on! Rizzo, just grab hold of the stick.
Merry Christmas!
Thank you! Excuse me, everyone. Can we have some quiet, please?
Whoa!
Dickens smashes open the frozen Rizzo.
I suppose I should be grateful for that.
You're welcome.
Everyone, please, can I have your attention for a moment?
It's the Marley brothers. My old partners as they were as lads.
Can I have your attention, please?
Animal opens his eyes and shouts.
Quiet! Thank you.
That's better. Welcome to Fuzzywig and Mom's annual Christmas party. At this time in the proceedings, it is a tradition for me to make a little speech.
And it's a tradition for us to take a little nap.
Pay no attention to them. My speech. Here's my Christmas speech. Thank you all and Merry Christmas.
That was the speech?
It was dumb.
It was obvious.
It was pointless.
It was short.
I loved it!
Come forward with speeches. Let's dance, son.
Here's Mrs. Fuzzywig to start the party. Way to go, Ma.
Hit it, boys.
Animal plays the triangle. Rizzo eyes up two female rats.
Hey, look, there's a buffet over here. Ooh. I'm kind of hungry.
Yin dish verdi hurdy burski.
Forget it. Mother always taught me never eat singing food.
A well-dressed 20-something man arrives and looks around.
Excuse me, Mr. Fozziwig.
Excuse me.
Sir, I've been going over the accounts. Do you know how much the firm is spending for this party?
Master Scrooge, this is Christmas. It's a time for generosity. Stop working. Enjoy yourself. Go meet some people. Go ahead. Oh, hello.
Animal at the drum kit. Robert watches Jacob Marley dance from side to side.
You dancing fool!
Rolf the dog is on the piano. Fozziwig walks through the party with a young lady.
I love these annual Christmas parties. I love them so much, I think we'll do it twice a year.
No, excuse me.
Oh, Master Scrooge.
Excuse me.
Belle, I'd like to introduce you to Ebenezer Scrooge, the finest young financial mind in the city. Ebenezer, this is Belle. Friend of the Fozziwig family.
I'm pleased to meet you.
He gently kisses her hand.
I'm glad you two finally met.
You remember this meeting?
Remember? Yes, I remember.
There was, of course, another Christmas Eve with this young woman, some years later.
Oh, please, do not show me that Christmas.
The bright light envelops them once more. They are now in a large snow-covered garden of a house. The 20-something Ebenezer is with Belle.
Another year before our wedding, Ebenezer.
But it can't be helped, Belle. How could we marry now? There's not even enough for a decent home. The investments haven't grown as they should.
So you said last year.
Business continues to be poor.
You're a partner in your own firm now.
Barely clearing expenses.
You said the partnership was the goal.
This is for you. I love you, Belle.
You did once.
She gets up and walks away. He looks sad. Rizzo is sobbing, covering his eyes. The old Ebenezer is also crying.
Spirit, show me no more. Why do you delight in torturing me?
I told you, these were the shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
Leave me.
Still crying, Ebenezer sits, holding his face in his hands. He is then back in his bedroom.
Scrooge was left alone and exhausted in his bedchamber. And thus he remained until the nearby clock began to strike the hour.
Oh, what was that?
2:00.
Oh, is it too early for breakfast?
Yes.
Oh, good, supper time.
The wooden character on Scrooge's clock strikes twice with his bells.
Scrooge knew that the second of the ghosts was due to appear. Yet now, as the clock finished striking,
nothing.
A giant appears.
Ho, 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 ho. Come in and know me better, man. Ho, 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 ho,
ho. Scrooge stands and walks towards the giant. He walks out into the other room, which is full of vegetables and bread. The large red-haired giant is in the room.
Come in and know me better, man. Did I already say that?
You did, yeah.
I am the ghost of Christmas present. This is the night before the dawn, before the day of Christmas. Did I tell you that I am the ghost of Christmas present?
You did, yeah.
Come in and know me better, man.
You're a little absent-minded spirit.
No, I'm a large absent-minded spirit. My mind is filled with the here and now. And the now is Christmas.
I don't believe I've ever met anybody like you before, sir.
Really? Over 1,800 of my brothers have come before me.
1,800? Imagine the grocery bills.
The giant shrinks to the same size as Scrooge.
Have you ever noticed that everything seems wonderful at Christmas?
In all honesty, Spirit, no. Perhaps I've never understood about Christmas.
Before this day is done, you will understand.
Oh. The giant opens the window, knocking Rizzo and Dickens from the ledge.
Ah, we shall go out into the world.
I suppose you enjoyed that.
Of course.
They look to their right as the giant and Scrooge suddenly appear.
May I welcome you to Christmas morning.
A conductor works with a choir. One choir member knocks over another.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. A cup of kindness that we share with another. A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother.
In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. And it is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it is make it last all year.
A snowman waves his arms and loses his head.
It's in the giving of a gift to another, a pair of mittens that were made by your mother.
It's all the ways that we show love that feel like Christmas. A part of childhood we'll always remember. It is the summer of the soul in December. Yes, when you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. It is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it is make it last all year.
Two horses dance together. They turn on the spot. Scrooge dances with the giant.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas.
Spirit, I had no idea. I wish to see friends, kin. Show me family.
They appear in a house.
It's Fred. My dear nephew Fred and his wife Clara. Having Christmas with friends.
Hey, look! Fruit!
Well, there now. We've had the plum pudding and sung the carols. What now, my lovelies?
A game, Fred.
Yeah, we must have a game at Christmas.
Do people play games at Christmas?
I love games!
Say, do you know that fruit is wax?
Oh, yeah. I wondered about the texture.
Let's play yes and no.
Oh, wonderful game.
That's a great game. Yes, I'll be it.
Yes, let Fred be it. He always thinks of good things.
I do have a good one, Clara. Guess.
Is it vegetable?
No.
Mineral?
No.
Animal, then?
What else?
What else, indeed?
Is it found on a farm?
Never.
In the city?
Usually.
Oh.
Does it pull a hansom cab? Certainly not.
How about a dog?
No.
A cat.
A cat?
I said it first.
No.
Wait then, is it an unwanted creature?
Often.
A mouse?
No.
A rat?
You called?
A cockroach?
No.
Reach!
Oh dear, it's too wonderful.
Wait, wait, I know. An unwanted creature, but not a rat-a-leech or a cockroach.
Then what?
Then what?
What?
It's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes!
Yes! That's a killer!
Scrooge looks upset and on the verge of tears.
Come, there's much to see.
No more. I wish to see no more.
They walk off and are suddenly back on the street.
Here.
Why have we come to this odd corner of the town?
It's Christmas here too, you know. That's Bob Cratchit's house.
Perhaps it was the spirit's own generous nature and his sympathy for all poor men that led them straight to the home of Scrooge's faithful clerk.
Goose! They're cooking goose down there!
Lizzo, get out of the way.
Hey, don't be sweeping the chimney now. You're blocking the smell.
This is Bob Cratchit's house.
How do you know that?
You just told me.
Well, I'm usually trustworthy.
Who's that?
Mrs. Cratchit, of course.
Mrs. Cratchit tends to the fire.
Peter, do not stop turning that spit. That is the whole secret of a properly roasted goose.
It smells so good, Mother.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, that smells wonderful.
Oh, good grief.
Hey, I'm stuck. Get me out of here.
I knew you weren't suited for literature.
Rizzo lands on the goose.
Oh, at least I landed on something soft. And hot.
I thought you said we couldn't eat the chestnuts until Father and Tiny Tim get home. I wasn't eating them. I was merely checking them to see if they were not burnt. It's a chef's thing, dear. And do not shout, Bettina. I'm Belinda.
I'm Bettina.
Of course you are, Bettina.
Belinda!
Whatever.
Emily Cratchit goes back to the fire. The twins turn away in disgust. Scrooge and the spirit spin around to see Bob carrying Tiny Tim.
Tis the season to be jolly and joyous. Fa-la-la, with the burst of pleasure we feel it arise. Fa-la-la, it's the season when the saints can employ us. Fa-la-la, to spread the news about peace and to keep love alive.
Come along, son. Let's go see if Christmas dinner is ready yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Dickens runs in just as the door closes.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Daddy!
The twins trample on Peter as they rush towards Bob.
Merry Christmas, girls. Merry Christmas, Peter.
Merry Christmas.
Children. Now it's time to set the table. Go ahead.
Wait for me.
Merry Christmas, Emily.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Cratchit.
Emmy.
Oh, I fell down the chimney and landed on a flaming hot goose.
You have all the fun. What?
Ugh. Oh, Peter, the Christmas dinner. The goose.
Oh, no. Now, son. Now you've gotten too excited. You go sit in your chair a moment. Okay, rest a moment. How was he at church?
Oh, as good as gold and better. He told me that he hoped the people saw him in church because it might be pleasant for them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
A remarkable child.
And with that, the Cratchits came to what was surely the happiest single moment in all the livelong year.
Such a meager feast.
But very much appreciated.
I paid Bob such a small amount.
Mr. Scrooge.
Bob. Bob Cratchit.
It only seems right that I should lift a glass to my employer. I give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed. If I had him here, I would give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I bet he would choke on it. Choke.
My dear, the children, Christmas Day.
Oh, well, I suppose that on the blessed day of Christmas, one must drink to the health of Mr. Scrooge, even though he is odious, stingy, wicked, and unfeeling, and badly dressed.
To the founder of the feast, Mr. Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge, he'll be very merry and happy this day, I have no doubt.
No doubt.
Cheers.
God bless us, everyone.
The giant walks off. Tiny Tim starts singing.
Life is full of sweet surprises. Every day's a gift. The sun comes up and I can feel it lift. My spirit fills me up with laughter, fills me up with song. I look into the eyes of love and know that I belong. Bless us all who gather here. The loving family I hold dear. No place on earth compares with home. And every path will bring me back from where I roam. Bless us all that as we live, we always comfort and forgive. We have so much that we can share with those in need we see around us everywhere. Let us always love each other. Lead us to the light. Let us hear the voice of reason singing in the night.
Let us run from anger
and catch us when we fall.
Teach us in our dreams and please, yes please, bless us one and all.
Scrooge looks touched.
Bless us all with playful years, with noisy games and joyful tears.
We reach for you and we stand tall.
And in our prayers and dreams we ask you bless us all.
We reach for you and we stand tall. And in our prayers and dreams we ask you bless us all.
Spirit?
Peter?
Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
That is the future. My realm is the present. However, I see a vacant seat by the chimney corner and a crutch without an owner. If these shadows remain unaltered, I believe the child will die. But what then? If he's going to die, he'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Oh, Spirit.
As the Cratchit family vanished into the darkness, Scrooge kept his eyes upon Tiny Tim until the last.
Come, my time grows short.
Scrooge walks off with the giant into the darkness. The giant's beard is now grey.
Spirit, do you grow old?
I do!
Are spirits' lives so short?
My time upon this globe is very brief. I believe it will end upon the stroke of 12.
What?
Now? But Spirit, I have learned so much from you.
Nothing Scrooge could do or say could stop the relentless march of those terrible bells.
Five.
Oh, Spirit, do not leave me.
I think I must, in fact.
You have meant so much to me. You have changed me.
And now I leave you with the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
You mean the future? Must I?
Go forth and know him better, man.
The giant disappears, leaving an anxious-looking Scrooge.
Uh,
he runs away from a large plume of white smoke coming from behind him. He is eventually engulfed in it. The smoke thins out as the panicky Scrooge turns and sees a large grey hooded figure with no face.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come?
The spirit nods.
Spirit, I fear you more than any spectre I have yet met.
Oh, this is too scary. I don't think I want to see any more.
No, when you're right, you're right. You're on your own, folks. We'll meet you at the finale.
Yeah. Oh.
I am prepared to follow and to learn with a thankful heart. Will you not speak to me?
The tall, spooky figure puts its arm around Scrooge's shoulder. It points over to the right.
Oh, yes, yes. The night is waning fast. Lead on, spirit.
Walking through a graveyard, a swirling time warp appears and they pass through it, ending up back on the street. It is raining heavily and four well-dressed pigs hide under their umbrellas. The hooded figure points towards them.
No, I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
Yeah.
When? Last night, I believe. Wonder what he died of. I thought he'd never go.
Well, I don't know or care why he's gone. I'd just like to know what he's done with his money.
Yeah, wouldn't right. We all?
Well, he didn't give it to me.
No. Well, it's likely to be a cheap funeral. I don't know a single soul who'd go to it.
I wouldn't mind going. If lunch is provided.
Speaking of lunch.
I know some of those gentlemen, Spirit. Of what poor wretch do they speak?
Once more, the hooded figure points to its right. Scrooge walks in this direction under an arch. Three people talk to a large spider.
So, back from the house of sadness, I see.
Sad that he didn't die years ago, the old skinflint.
Well, let me see. What do you got for old Joe, eh? What do you got for me to remember him by?
Joe, get off.
Well, I got these collar buttons from his dresser. Mother of Pearl.
No. I got his beckons. Very fine damask.
Very cheap damask. But worth a few coins.
No, I've got his blankets.
Oh, his blankets. Why, Mrs. Dilber, they're still warm. I don't pay extra for the warmth, you know.
You should. It's the only warmth he ever had.
Scrooge looks uneasy.
I understand, Spirit. The case of this unhappy man might be my own. My life turns that way now. Merciful heavens. Let me see some tenderness connected with this world, or I'll be haunted by that terrible conversation forever.
Putting its arm around the tearful Scrooge, the hooded figure points at a red doorway with a wreath hanging on it.
It's Bob Cratchit's house. Oh, yes, Spirit. A place of joy and laughter. Thank you for bringing me here.
Scrooge looks around him.
So quiet. Why is it so quiet, Spirit?
It points its finger at Scrooge, who dejectedly turns to the window and looks in. Mrs. Cratchit is again tending to the fire. Her two daughters come up to her.
Oh, Mother, you're crying again. Oh, it's just the lamplight that hurts my eyes.
Not Tiny Tim.
There now. My eyes get weak in the dim light. I would not want to show weak eyes to your father when he gets home for anything in the world. He should be back now.
I think he's walked a little slower these
past 2 evenings.
Hello, my dears.
Daddy.
Oh. Hello, girls. Hello, Peter.
Hello. Children, please go set the table. Thank you. How was the churchyard?
Well, it'll be lovely, Emily. It would have done you good to see how green the place is. I picked a spot for Tim where he can see. It's a spot on the hill. And you can see the ducks on the river. Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim always loved watching the ducks on the river.
Oh, Spirit. Must there be a Christmas that brings this awful scene? How can we endure it?
It's all right, children. Life is made up of meetings and partings. That is the way of it. I am sure we shall never forget Tiny Tim or this first parting that there was among us.
They all solemnly bow their heads. Tim's crutch, hat and scarf sit on a chair in front of the fire. Scrooge and the hooded figure are back in the graveyard. The wind blows with the gloomy dark sky above.
Must we return to this place? There's something else that I must know. Is that not true? Spirit, I know what I must ask. I fear to, but I must. Who was the wretched man whose death brought so much glee and happiness to others?
The hooded figure points over at a grave. Scrooge slowly walks towards it before turning back to him.
Answer me one more question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be only?
Again, the hooded figure points over to the gravestone and Scrooge approaches it.
These events can be changed.
Scrooge points at one grave, but the hooded figure points back to the first one.
A life can be made right.
Kneeling down, Scrooge rubs away the snow on the headstone to reveal the name, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, please, Spirit, no. Hear me, I'm not the man I was. Why would you show me this if I was past all hope? I will honor Christmas and try to keep it all the year. I will live my life in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lessons the spirits have taught me. Tell me that I may sponge out the writing on this stone. Oh, Spirit, please speak to me.
Scrooge is suddenly back in his bed. As this dawns on him, a relieved smile appears on his face and he gets up.
I'm home.
Yes, the bedposts were his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own.
Hi, guys, we're back.
We promised we would be. But the thing that made Scrooge happiest of all was that his life lay before him, and it could be changed.
I will live my life in the past, the present, and the future of Jacob and Robert Marley. Oh, heaven in the Christmas time be praised for this day. I say it on my knees, Jacob and Robert, on my knees. Oh, they're not torn down. They're here, and I'm here. More's a miracle.
He spots himself in the mirror.
I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy.
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here?
Scrooge is saved. What can happen now?
Yeah.
Scrooge opens the window. Dickens and Rizzo go flying off the window ledge.
You there, boy.
Bean Bunny walks along.
What, me? What, me, sir?
What's today?
Pardon?
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Well, today is Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits did it all in one night. They can do anything they like. Of course they can. Of course they can.
Of course they can.
Do you know the poultry shop in the next street?
Yes, sir, I do.
An intelligent lad. A remarkable lad. Do you know whether the prize turkey has been sold in the window?
Oh, the one twice as big as me? It's still there?
Oh, it's a pleasure talking with you, lad. Go and buy it.
Be serious.
I am being serious. Buy it for me and I'll give you a shilling.
Oh.
No, I'll give you 5 shillings.
He throws down the money.
Wow!
And so the boy was off like a shot. So even...
Sorry.
I'll bring it to Bob Cratchit's house. What a surprise it'll be. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim.
And a few moments later, dressed in his finest, Scrooge appeared on the streets of the city to wish Merry Christmas to all the world.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Gee, thanks.
Everyone was out and about this fine morning, and soon he encountered 2 familiar faces.
The charity workers.
Mr. Scrooge?
Pardon me, gentlemen, but about the charity donation you asked me for yesterday. Put me down for...
He whispers in his ear.
That much?
Not a penny less. A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what to say. I just wish there was something we could give you.
Beaker takes off his red scarf.
A gift? A gift for me?
Scrooge puts the scarf on.
Thank you. Thank you. 50 times, and a Merry Christmas.
Here's your turkey, Mr. Scrooge.
Follow me, lad.
With a thankful heart, with an endless joy, with a growing family, every girl and boy will be nephew and niece to me.
Nephew and niece to me.
Will bring love, hope and peace to me.
Love, hope and peace to me.
Yes, and every night will end, and every day will start, with a grateful prayer and a thankful heart. With an open smile and with open doors, I will bid you welcome. What is mine is yours. With a glass raised to toast your health.
With a glass raised to toast your health.
And a promise to share the wealth.
Promise to share the wealth.
I will sail a friendly course, file a friendly chart, on a sea of love and a thankful heart. Life is like a journey. Who knows when it ends? Yes, and if you need to know the measure of a man, you simply count his friends. Stop and look around you. The glory that you see is born again each day. Don't let it slip away. How precious life can be.
Scrooge leads them all through the streets. Grinning, he hugs a shocked-looking Clara and Fred. He gives them both a present and waves goodbye. Clara is laughing and Fred is still stunned. A smile then creeps onto his face. The large group continue through the streets. Scrooge gives presents to his old headmaster and Fozziwig. The headmaster shakes his to his ear, and Fozziwig puts his hearing horn up against his present.
With a thankful heart that is wide awake, I do make this promise every breath I take will be used now to sing your praise.
Used now to sing your praise.
And to beg you to share my day. With a loving guarantee that even if we part, I will hold you close in a thankful heart. I will hold you close in a thankful heart.
heart.
Now outside the Cratchits' house, he shushes his followers and shepherds them out of the way. He motions to Bean Bunny, who is carrying the turkey, to disappear.
Bob Cratchit!
Bob Cratchit opens the door.
So here you are.
Mr. Scrooge.
You, sir, were not at work this morning as we had discussed.
But Mr. Scrooge, sir, we did discuss it. It's Christmas Day. You gave me the day off.
I, Ebenezer Scrooge, would I do a thing like that?
No, I mean, yes, but you did.
Bob Cratchit, I've had my fill of this.
And I have had my fill of you,
Emily,
Mr. Scrooge.
Therefore,
Bob Cratchit.
And therefore, you can leave this house at once.
And therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
Oh, and I am about to raise you right off the pavement or onto the...
Pardon?
Yes, Bob. Raise your salary and pay your mortgage on this house.
please, sir, come inside. Yes, yes.
Bob Cratchit, would you and your family care to join us for a little turkey dinner on this fine Christmas day? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
The charity workers and the others pour into the house bearing gifts.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more.
And, Tiny Tim?
Tiny Tim, who did not die.
Oh, isn't that swell?
To Tiny Tim, Scrooge became a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever had. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that truly be said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone. The love we found, the love we found, we carry with us, so we're never quite alone. The love we found, the love we found, the sweetest dream that we have ever known.
Oh, thanks. If you like this, you should read the book.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by
Merry
the fire.
Merry Christmas!
It's true wherever you find love. It feels like Christmas.
Yes, it does!
The end. Merry Christmas.
With a friend or a brother.
Hello.
In all the places you find love. It feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart. A special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. And it is the season of the spirit, the message.
It's all the ways that we show love that feel like Christmas. A part of childhood we'll always remember. It is the sign of the song in December. Yes, when we
Merry Christmas.
More love, it feels like Christmas.
And remember, it is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. It is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it, is make it last all year.
Yes!
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It feels like Christmas.
It feels like Christmas.
like a window and you see your future there before you and how perfect life can be. But adventure calls with unknown voices pulling you away. Be careful or you may regret the choice you make someday. When love time.